Perfect. So over the last few weeks, we've talked about focus. During that time, we've talked about focusing our thoughts on the good and taking our thoughts captive. We've talked about focusing on Jesus in the midst of when we're in the storms of life. Last week, we talked about focusing on the future and how God has a plan for our lives to give us hope. And this week, we're going to talk and finish up our series here on purpose by talking about focusing on your purpose. Viktor Frankl, anybody recognize that name? Okay. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian Jew born in 1905. He was a medical doctor who is also interested in psychology. In 1942, Viktor and his family were taken as prisoners to the Theresienstadt concentration camp. Those who from his family who survived that concentration camp were moved to Auschwitz. There, his mother was exterminated. His wife was taken to the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, where she died. And as he watched his loved ones and others, friends, all these different concentration camps suffer and die, some were able to withstand the mistreatment better than others. He theorized that those inmates who had some meaning in their lives were more likely to survive. He developed a whole school of psychotherapy called logotherapy that focused on finding your purpose. Eventually, before he died, he wrote an autobiography called Man's Search for Meaning. That was the 1940s. But I tell you, people are hunting for meaning just as much today. He wrote this: life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by a lack of meaning and purpose. And there's some real truth to that. Because we as a human race, as we walk farther and farther from our God-given purpose, and we pursue more of our own purposes, what does Scripture say? There's a way that seems right to man, and in the end it leads to death. The more we search after our own purposes, the more our world has become more and more unhappy, miserable, and cranky. And if you don't believe me, go somewhere where you got to wait in line. Because there's a lot of cranky people who have to wait in line. People complain about everything, and they try anything to help them feel happy and with purpose. But Christians should be different. For those who know Christ and who pursue Christ, we have a God-given purpose that defines who we are. It defines the direction for our lives. But we have to be intentional in keeping that purpose in the forefront of our thoughts, lest we get sidetracked. And it's so easy to get sidetracked. So let's talk about purpose today. Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Paul, near the end of his life, was a prisoner in Rome. He was under house arrest and was not allowed to leave the house. Do you know why he was there? For preaching the gospel. At this point in Paul's life, he had been through a lot. He had been plotted against to take his life to where he had to be lowered out of a window in a basket. He had been imprisoned multiple times. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He had been bitten by snakes. And you know how much I hate snakes. all for the sake of the gospel. His life hadn't been easy after coming to faith in Jesus. In fact, when he came to faith in Jesus, he left behind a lot of comfort and a lot of security. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was in the upper echelons of Jewish culture. He had people who stood behind him as he went and hunted down Christians and locked them up. Now he was the very one being persecuted for his faith. But even as he had totally lost his freedom and he was confined to his home as he awaited trial, he still hadn't lost sense of his purpose and calling. And he says, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And he's writing this as a prisoner. He never lost sight, but kept focused on the fact that God, Jesus himself, had called him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And even in prison, you know what his focus was? Poor me. No. His focus was, I am called to preach the gospel, and I will do that wherever I have gone and whatever circumstance I find myself in. It was from prison that Paul wrote four of his epistles that we now have as part of our New Testament Bibles. These include Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And when you read these books, you don't get a hint of bitterness, resentment, or anger over him being in prison. Why was he able to face such hardships and difficulties and yet continue to be an effective minister for the gospel? It was because he was focused on his purpose. In fact, because Paul was able to keep his focus in the midst of his suffering and trials, he was happy to report to the Philippian church that he was more effective in prison than ever. Philippians 4, 12 through 14. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. When was the last time you said, you know what, that person, he cut me off in traffic, but you know what, it served to advance the gospel? Actually, usually what happens, somebody cuts us off and it serves to advance our own sin, right? As a result, if we keep reading, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul's effectiveness as a missionary wasn't lessened because of his imprisonment. It was just another opportunity for him to fulfill his calling and purpose as a believer because he didn't lose sight of his purpose. You know what? I understand that it isn't always easy to keep our purpose center. I think probably I can say with confidence that all of us through in here today have probably been through some difficult moments in our lives. I've been there. I'm sure you've been there. I've heard some of the stories of how you've been there. Uncertainty, criticism, pain, all the daily challenges we face, it can wear us down. And it can get to the point where, what purpose do we have other than to just get up and make it through the day? But the flip of that coin is true too. Sometimes it's just as easy to forget our purpose when we get comfortable. When things are going well. Because sometimes we don't want to pursue our purpose and lose the comfort we're in. We want just this nice sense of calmness. But the truth is, whether we're in difficult situations or whether we're in great situations, we must strive to focus on our purpose. God did not save me for my purpose to be to have a comfortable, easy life. Believe it or not, I think God is less interested in me being happy and more interested in using me and making me into someone who is usable to him. We have to keep our purpose in mind and not just think, I've reached the plateau and here I'm going to stay. So what exactly is our purpose? Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise because it's all throughout Scripture. Our purpose is to bring glory to God and expand his kingdom. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to be honest. I've been criticized for preaching about how we should witness and how we should share Christ with the world. But today is Pentecost Sunday. And when we remember this day, the event that happened on this day, to the best of our calendar reasoning, the day that the Holy Spirit was first given, the first baptism of the Holy Spirit, we also have to remember, why was the Holy Spirit given? The Holy Spirit was given to empower people to be witnesses to the world. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given so that the kingdom of God may be strengthened and expanded. The very first thing that happened after the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit was they began to preach. And thousands that day came to faith. Do you think that was by accident? That the coming of the Holy Spirit resulted in the preaching of the gospel? It wasn't. If we lose sight that we are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then we have lost sight of the purpose God has given us. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to sit on the couch somewhere. Oh, I think I misread that. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God made you his handiwork. From the moment you were born to your salvation experience, to the things he's been working out in your life so that you could do good works. And I'm not just talking about being a nice person, although you should be a nice person. What I'm talking about is the good works of the kingdom of God. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. This is why Paul kept ending up in prison, because he wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel, because he knew his purpose in calling from God. The reason why Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel was because it is the power of God for what? For salvation. We can't forget our purpose. Paul, when he got to prison, could have been like, you know what, I think I just need to be quiet for a while until I get out of here. But he wasn't ashamed. He kept his purpose center. We can't forget our purpose, that we were created to do the good works of spreading the gospel. I don't care how difficult things get. That's not true. I do care how difficult things can get for your life. But it doesn't change our purpose. And if we focus on difficulties, if we focus on the culture of the world and how it feels, whatever, and if we focus on let's just huddle up, circle up. You ever watch rugby? I haven't really watched that much, but I have seen with the Olympics. One of the things that they do is they circle up, right? And they wrap their arms around each other and they try to push through. It's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're not called to circle up in a building. We are called to have the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. I will never be ashamed to preach the message of the gospel. I will never be ashamed to point people to Jesus. Amen. And I will never be ashamed to be known as someone who talks too much about witnessing to our neighbors. I don't want to point people to me because I'm going to be honest, I can't do much for you. I can give you some good words. I'm a good listener, but it's Jesus that changed things. And I urge you to never forget the purpose we have, which is to point people to Jesus. Never lose sight that you weren't saved to make life about yourself, your comfort, or your freedom. We have a greater purpose than self. We need to keep our focus on our purpose, which is to make Jesus known. That is the calling we have. That is the part of the kingdom of God that we are called to play, to testify to the kingdom in a lost and fallen world. And today is Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to encourage you that one of the ways that we keep our eyes focused on our purpose is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 45 through 49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is Jesus saying it. He's saying, you're going to be empowered to go into all the world, beginning with Jerusalem, and to preach the gospel. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. What did the Father promise? The Holy Spirit. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then once you have been clothed with power from on high, then go out and be witnesses. That's why 3,000 people were saved that day, because they were Pentecostal people who were anointed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and empowered them to be witnesses. He says the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says that the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all nations, but they needed to wait until the promise was given. The giving of the Holy Spirit was to empower believers to pursue their God-given purpose of being witnesses to the lost. To be Pentecostal means we evangelize the world. 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 25. Paul's going to do a little bit of teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to what he says. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So he's establishing something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to empower us to reach unbelievers. So if the whole world comes together and or the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers and unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Sometimes they do. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secret of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among us. Paul teaches that the gifts are meant to build up believers and to bring salvation to the lost. Our purpose to bring God glory through being his witnesses to the world is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Different gifts, one spirit, one purpose, to bring God glory. Churches all over the world pray for revival. And in times, there has been great movements of God. And these movements of God have impacted communities. And in these great movements, these revivals or great awakenings, there's some common traits. Number one, the ones that are truly revival and last are the ones that emphasize Jesus. Number two, these revivals bring repentance of believers. Sometimes we think the gospel is for those out there. Number three, a common trait amongst revivals that have stood the test of time are a passion for prayer. Number four, a hunger for the word of God. Today's church is what we call biblically illiterate. That means today's church doesn't know what's in their own Bibles. They probably have 3, 4, 5 copies of them at home, and they don't know what it says. Number five, a common trait amongst revivals, a renewed burden for the lost. Number six, an increase in salvations. And number seven, the manifest presence of God, which baptism of the Holy Spirit, moving of the Spirit during services. Isn't it interesting that with revival and greater intimacy with Jesus, with God, with the moving of the Holy Spirit, there also comes a greater burden for the lost? This is what we were made for, people. We were made to bring glory to God. And what brings God more glory than furthering his kingdom and making it big? With the coming of the Holy Spirit in times of revival, there is a renewing of purpose to reach the lost and the empowering. That's why there's a more manifestation of God's Holy Spirit, because he's working in people's hearts, transforming them and empowering them so that they can fulfill their purpose, which is to be a light in a dark world, a world that needs to know Jesus. And if we're not empowered to do it, who is going to do it? I've heard many people say that in light of the way the world is going, the rampant sin, the spiritual darkness, that Jesus' return is close. I do think there are some real signs to that. There's an increase in natural disasters around the world, isn't there? Let's be honest, there's an increase of natural disasters here in New Jersey. How many of you ever remember as a kid having an earthquake? And yet there's been 3 or 4 of them, right? How many of you remember wildfires in New Jersey? I think all creation is crying out for the return of Jesus. I think another sign is the speed at which sinful gender and sexual ideologies have grown. Although I do think that recently there's been some pushback. But I think the reality is these things have taken root and these ideologies will never be completely gone until Jesus returns. There is growing tensions among the nations of the world. Right? Yesterday, and the next town over from us, actually Friday, I think it was, in the next town over from us, they found a guy shot to death in his car, and this is a town that has very little crime. Like, people are losing it. Because sin abounds. There's a rise in sickness and disease. How many of you know at least one person, if not more, who has had cancer? Right? Like, it just seems like things are spiraling. They're cranking up, right? Or winding down. Maybe that's the better word. I do think there is something spiritual going on. I will concede, though, that there have been many seasons in times past where the church has said that end times are near. And some of those seasons have come and gone, and we're still here. But I do think that we are in a season of darkness. And whether it's the last season or not, the reality is, the last season before Jesus comes, the reality is day by day, we are getting closer to his return. And whether or not this is the last season or not, whether it's in our lifetime or not, we have a purpose. And every day there are lives, if I can just be honest for a second, in this area of New Jersey, there are people entering their eternal reward every day. Whether that eternal reward is in the presence of God or eternal separation from God. We have a purpose. Things are going to get worse in this world the closer we get to the end times. We know Scripture clearly says that more and more people aren't going to tolerate the truth. But that doesn't mean the kingdom of God can be stopped. And that doesn't mean we sit back and just prepare ourselves. We have been given a purpose to further the kingdom of God. There are at least 5 or 6 churches in the Whiting area that I know of. There are still lots of people who are passing away who don't know Jesus. In every generation, in every nation, there are believers who fully embrace their God-given purpose to be a witness of the gospel empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, God's kingdom cannot be stopped. The question I have to you today is that, are you focused on your purpose to help that kingdom expand? That is what we are called to do. And I do want to encourage you that there's always going to be tough times, always going to be struggles and problems. But if we keep our focus on our purpose, I don't know about you, when I was a children's pastor in Freehold, I hadn't been there for just a couple of years. Actually, I was still youth pastoring at the time in Freehold. They had a men's softball league with other churches. Now, I think I played baseball when I was in Little League. Probably 6, 7. I think I got past T-ball. But it wasn't my thing. But when the opportunity came to be on the church's softball team, I thought, all right, let's give this a try. I joined the team, and I played like a blue claw. Do you know what that means? I wasn't good. Sorry, blue claws, if you're listening. We respect you. They did have a grand slam. I got up to bat exactly one time the first game. I'm proud to say I actually hit the ball and got on base. I think it might have been their first run. Or their first jog, maybe I should say. After that game, they're like, you know what? Why don't you help keep score? I did not have the purpose of being a baseball player, softball player. And you know what? To be honest, I wasn't content to just sit on the bench. I'm telling you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm not content to sit on the bench. No one who is a part of this team should be content to sit on the bench. Because you know what you do? You keep the bench warm, and your hiney gets sore after a while. And I have greater purpose than that. And it's the purpose that I have been called by Christ to complete. And it's the same purpose by which you have been called by Christ, to make his kingdom big and to draw people to Jesus. So let's keep our focus on that. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Father God, over the last couple of weeks, you know, I've heard a lot of people just talk about how thankful they were for this focus. And Lord, I thank you that anything I have said, you have used. Father, I pray that you would help us to keep our focus on the purpose for which you have made us and called us. Father, I pray that as we go about daily life, that you would be the center of all we do. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help us to fulfill our purpose and to not be distracted by the things of this world, Lord God, to not be distracted by struggles, to not be distracted by success, to not be distracted by busyness or all the noise and sound that's always going on around us, but that, God, we would keep our eyes focused on you, and that we would pursue expanding your kingdom. Father, we don't want to be aimless. We want to be shot like an arrow towards a target. Father, I just want to give thanks today for Pastor Ken's life. Lord, I know from his faithfulness over the years that you have touched many lives. Father God, I pray that today on his birthday that you would bless him. Father God, may he just feel our love for him as well as experience just a renewing and a refreshing of your very real love for him today. Father God, would you raise up more people like Pastor Ken? Would you bless the cake that we're about to have? It may be full of sugar, but God, it's a way for us to celebrate. And so we ask that you would bless that time of celebration. And we commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. I pray that even tonight, as we go to the Pentecost rally, that those who are able to be there, Lord God, that you would just work and move in their heart, that they would be encouraged, that they would be strengthened. I pray that, Father God, that there would be a renewing of our love and desire and excitement about being a believer. Would you protect us as we travel there and back, Lord? And in all things, may you receive the glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.